Scripture is Scripture because it keeps being relevant, descriptive, profound, and true beyond its authors and years. Example from Habakkuk in 598 BCE and his prophetic lament, a cry for help which God doesn't seem to hear. The wicked strong enough to subvert justice, law surrendering to force. In his day, Judah faced the Chaldeans, a ruthless nation which knew no right but might. Sound familiar? A frustrated Habakkuk wrote, "Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails." Habakkuk was saying, for good or ill, what is taking place in history has meaning. We'd say, in this day, our way, your vote matters. Examples from our time. Russia invades Ukraine, the UN seeming impotent to stop it. Israel kills Palestinian civilians every day. No one cares or wants to know. Children and teachers mowed down in school. Faithful people killed in temple, church, and mosque. Courts and politics deny a woman's right to choose. Disinformation, voter intimidation, homegrown terrorism in our own country, Christian nationalism having nothing to do with Jesus or the Constitution. Yet, after that despairing list, Habakkuk's affirmation thunders down through the ages, impacting Martin Luther's insight 505 years ago, almost to the day, sparking reformation of a church corrupted by power, control, and greed. The righteous live by their faith. The righteous live by their faith. Powerful stuff. No pious men doling out salvation to control thought or eternity. But each of us, following Jesus' way, can figure out and do what is right. In that righteous vision, often called integrity, we encounter Jesus on the final leg of his trip to Jerusalem. On the way to Jericho stands a large sycamore tree, thick trunk, large branches. Not the ones Zacchaeus climbed, of course, but people climb it anyway for photographs. Now, you may not know, but Jericho is the most ancient city in the world. And when Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down, the walls had been down 10,000 years already. In Jesus' time, Jericho was the hub of a very lucrative commercial route. So as chief tax collector, supervising the collections, Zacchaeus had become very wealthy. Under Roman rule, tax collectors had a lot of power, could, would, and did take more than they should. In Luke's gospel, conversions often have a financial reference, handy for stewardship season. Friday's internet brought thoughts on this gospel from my British friend, the Reverend Canon Trevor Pitt, and I liked his description of events better than what I'd written. Trevor wrote, "Invitations to shared meals are a common motif, especially with people of doubtful reputation. A consistent pattern here, whenever Jesus befriends someone, the critics are always close by." But Jesus never writes anyone off. God always keeps an open table Jesus just invites himself. Suddenly, attitudes change. Behavior in relation to wealth is transformed. This is what Jesus meant by salvation. Conversion means a thorough makeover, not only in appearances, but also in assets and investments, because people everywhere are crying out for justice. I thought those words from Trevor were clarifying, because religious people can sometimes be a royal pain. Something motivated Zacchaeus to climb that tree to see Jesus, but Jesus saw him. Jesus' acceptance broke through, changed his heart. Reflecting the Exodus requirement to return four sheep for one that was stolen, Zacchaeus tells Jesus, "Look, half of my possessions I'll give to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone of anything, I'll pay back four times as much." Suddenly that made sense. Luke has Jesus say, "Today, salvation has come to this house." In other words, you've got the Spirit. That's because when you get it, everything is changed. John Wesley experienced it, "I felt my heart strangely warmed." Your whole being is transformed. A totally different value system emerges. Your behavior, your actions change. Luke reminds his readers, this is why the Messiah came, for the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost. So, where's your sycamore tree? No matter your height, it's hard to get a glimpse of Jesus above the crowds. In our day, crowds are things like our egos, assumptions about Jesus and salvation, financial needs, real or not, desires for acceptance. Each of us with needs as different and personal as they are powerful. Jesus wants to meet you there. Where you are, up on your sycamore tree looking, wanting to see, find meaning. Remember, when he sees you, he's not blaming you. And remember, his calling, his whole purpose was to seek out and save the lost, whatever that is in you. So don't feel guilty. Don't be embarrassed. Just climb the tree for a better look. Surprise. He'll meet you and see you there. You'll find, though, there's always a therefore. What I'll do. No transactional relationship, no quid pro quo. I'll do this if you do that. It's just that when Jesus meets you, like Zacchaeus, there's that transformation. When you see Jesus, realizes he sees you, he invites himself into your life. Dirty house and all. Totally accepting of its condition. Then, as Trevor describes, comes the change of actions. Attitudes toward other people, relationships, finances, time and energy spent on what you believe in, possibly making good trouble. Even your self-image is changed. Everything impacted. And you'll know and feel what Jesus meant when he told Zacchaeus, "Salvation has come to this house." Salve, healing. New meaning to "let us go forth in love and serve the Lord" as guilt-laden obligation is transformed into joyful desire and the Spirit of Christ. Just like Zacchaeus knew. And justice can come, just as Habakkuk dreamed.